Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
Welcome everyone, it's Marina from MCBI and I've just come off the stage from the Rhino Room having delivered our 60 Mock for October around human capital and the way forward. Great session, thanks for those of you who turned up. A very interesting and thought-provoking session. So today's 60 Mock podcast is actually going to be split over two podcasts because of the content and because some of the questions were so great I wanted to do justice to them all. The first podcast, the one you're listening to right now, is going to set forward the idea that we are at the end of the era of productivity, and that widget production is no longer a part of the business community. Now, even that statement is probably going to rattle you a little bit, and I'm sure this little 12-minute, you know, session might sort of dislodge a few of the ideas that you've got. Do listen to it, and then follow up with the second part of this series, which is around what the future looks like and how humans are going to be very different when we look at producing outcomes in the business community. So let me just first start by explaining a little bit about me and disclose a couple of things, shall we say. I am an Adelaide girl. Most people know that. Love Port Adelaide. But my background, I came from the western suburbs and I grew up against a backdrop of General Motors and, you know, manufacturing, a very logical way of looking at how businesses can thrive. We probably, if you were here for the last couple of decades, you would have had the shadow of General Motors closure and that it's a big part of our economy. So I'm kind to myself when I realise that productivity for me is just something that isn't challenged. It's just a given in terms of how business should run. But for the last 2 years, I've been doing research on a whole lot of different ways of businesses operating. And I must say, I now am of the very strong belief that productivity is actually not a measurement that any business, in any sort of capacity, should be using when they're trying to create a future-proofed organisation. So, to do that, I am going to tell you a little bit about me, you know, because that's what everyone wants to hear. Yeah, let's just talk about ourselves. No, I'm going to use some examples of business and my own career, and I hope that as you hear this, you better go, oh yeah, I can see this. It's a way to illustrate why productivity is probably, if it hasn't died in your organisation or your sector, it will start to be feeling the stresses of it. So my career first started probably, you know, in essence, I worked for a big tech firm, a big one, you know, that who remain nameless, but I'll call them the Big Blue and we'll just leave it at that. But I entered the Big Blue in a love the organisation. And for those of you who probably picked that organisation, you'll understand that that organisation had this incredible tension between productivity and achievement. We were very competitive. We focused on getting stuff done and delivering not just to ourselves but to our customers. The other part that we had within our organisation was innovation. We loved innovation. And I was very proud to work for a company that always had a spot in its workforce for the Nobel Prize laureates in tech and computing. And I felt very, very proud of it. I felt very proud to be a part of a company like that. In fact, I'd studied them when I was in uni. I was like, oh my God, I now work for them. It's incredible. And what I didn't realise at the time is that the logic that underpinned this organisation was something that made me feel safe. I got it. If I did the numbers and I achieved the goals, I, you know, engaged in the performance reviews or the career paths, I was able to become successful. I was also able to understand the purpose of our innovation, because our innovation was just almost entirely around better widget production, whether it be for our customers or for someone else. We were totally geared towards doing things faster, quicker and better and higher quality. Now, some of you might even be thinking about, oh, I'm going to turn off now, like that's a given. What if I told you that the future, and the future could be as close as 2 years away, that none of those beliefs are correct anymore? That productivity has probably is a part, it's a hangover from the Industrial Revolution or the Industrial Age, and that we're on the brink, if we haven't already got there, we're going to get rid of all of that. And I think of some of the examples of how we treated humans under those eras that really illustrate why people aren't interested in dealing in, you know, productivity measurements like they used to. The one story that does sing out for me, or really stand out for me, is what we call in re-engineering or in consulting the Rankin-Yank technique. So Rankin-Yank. When I did the session this morning, I had a few people inhale going, I don't think we actually want to know what a Rankin Yank is. It is as brutal and as awful as the title suggests. So what most organisations who have a productivity appetite do, whether they do it formally or in your face or behind closed doors, is that they will look at their staff in some way, at their human capital, as we sometimes call it, and we rank them in terms of their performance against a series of metrics, and it allows us to look at the team, the human capital investment, the assets being the humans, and establish how well are they actually producing the widgets. Now, there are other things. Before you were like, oh, email me and start freaking out, like, oh, there's other things we do at work. Absolutely you do. We have values, we have training, we do all sorts of things at work. But ultimately, the purpose of most organisations is to produce widgets, simple widgets. Our economy is based on that, on those concepts. We have this idea of fixed assets. All, you know, we have to do work with them better, more efficiently. Effectiveness is often talked about. But all these things are all laying on top of the foundation of productivity. Now, the thing with productivity, though, is it actually looks at a human as an input. Now, in the old days of IBM, I just said their name. You have to get rid of that somehow. In the old days, the leaderboard, as we had it, up on the board, actually, we displayed quite transparently who were the top performers and who weren't. And if out of the, if you were level number three, you were fantastic. You're applauded and upheld as like a fantastic widget producer. But unfortunately, if you fell behind that yellow line, as we used to call it, that would be where the yanking happened. You'd get removed. And the idea was that we just wouldn't have a high performing team if we were continually carrying these low performers. And yank and rank, as awful as the title is something that is going on in most organisations right now. It dehumanises us. I have a terrible story where I understood that I was involved in re-engineering. We had to get rid of 124 people. We reported some metrics back or our capability to get rid of people. It was incorrect and 41 people lost their jobs incorrectly because of the Excel spreadsheet. But we still went ahead with it because the appetite for productivity was actually more important than it was to actually have a good high character integrity in our workforce. Now, in the world of productivity, just to put it in context, you as a human within the productivity framework, you would probably get a bit of education in a sector, give you a little sort of boost up so you could get in there and produce those widgets quicker. You might be given some beautiful corporate training to further enhance your capacity to perform better with less errors and, you know, be able to do more with less, all those good mantras that come out. And if you're in an organisation that is even more fabulous around alignment, as it's sometimes called, or cultural fit, we might even examine your aptitude to see how much friction we can take out of the matching process so you can produce more widgets, deliver the service, and then have something inside you that actually sort of activates and you feel good about the value that you're creating. Now, that all sounds great, but it's still on productivity and we are still viewing humans as just widget producers. We're just getting a bit more clever about it and we're understanding that humans need a lot more than just, you know, like a paycheck at the end of it to be able to keep doing their work. Now, the future is going to look incredibly different. And it's not just because we're all a bit fed up with the versions of reward systems that, you know, don't really match us or our needs. The future is a fundamental abandonment of productivity. We are going to be sort of a bit disembodied, no longer worrying about widgets. And I swear, this is where all the evidence is sort of leading us to. The future looks purposeful. Humans are actually restored back as meaningful, strong contributors to a new sort of ecosystem. And there's a whole set of new characteristics and new skills and competencies that we need to be seeing we'll call them a workforce, but they're not. They're more like a cohort that's coming through. Now, before I sort of let you go and go, you know, get on your email and go, nah, productivity is still going to be there. We still need it. We do need to get outcomes, and I just want to leave you with this. Absolutely, we need outcomes. We need to be able to produce things in a competitive way. But we don't need to have this voracious appetite of controlling our workforce like we did back in the mills or in Europe where we would just put people in and put them out and then sort of wrap it around with a whole lot of HR metrics. We don't need to do that anymore. There is enough abundance in the world now. Now, this is the part where productivity is sort of getting a bit knocked around. Humans won't need to do all this sort of grunt work. We'll have robots to do it. We're already seeing that. Cobots, augmented, artificial intelligence and quicker decision making based on, computers who sit next to us mean that we actually don't need all the productivity stuff. But it also means our HR, our remuneration systems, our reward and recognition, our leaderboards, all of that stuff is about to go through a huge transformation. So with that, I'm going to leave you the thought, productivity is dead. And the next world that's coming ahead, and I want to say ahead, it's probably like a couple of years off, is all about humanity restoring itself back into this thing that we call the business system. All right, see you on part two, and when we look at the future, but don't forget, productivity is dead.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.